And so we're going to talk this morning about something about what Miss Angela just sang about. But this morning, I'm thinking about the story written about Christmas, a Christmas story in the 19th century by the great English writer Charles Dickens. And his famous story is called A Christmas Carol, right, Anna? Christmas Carol. And in the story, the leading character was a very rich but miserly businessman named Ebenezer Scrooge. And in order to get Scrooge to change his ways, he was visited by three spirits, or three ghosts. The spirit of Christmas past, the spirit of Christmas present, and the spirit of Christmas future, yes, yet to come. And so, you know, this is a good time for us as we come to the end of the year and we come to another Christmas to look back to Christmas past. Now, Christmas past is celebration of the birth of the Lord who came into this world, changed the calendar, and he's been changing lives ever since. And we celebrate his birth December 25th. There's a reason for that. I won't go into the history, but that's when we celebrate it today. And for the sake of time, I'll just skip over all of that. And we think about his first coming into the world. And it is a blessing to do that. Amen? And we have been doing that. And we've had messages on that. But we also think about the spirit of Christmas present. And the spirit of Christmas present in Scrooge's story was what was going on right around him. And right around us right now, we have doors of opportunity that are opening up to our church. Last week, we had a goal to get 140 people out for Christmas Gift Sunday. And do you know we had 151 that came out? That was a blessing. That's Christmas present. Open doors. And we preach the Word of God, and people have been going out and telling the good news of Jesus Christ all over through our soul winning. And we had six people come forward to say that they put their faith in Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And they had Christmas in their heart, and they were then acknowledged. And two of them got baptized, and two joined the church. And that's Christmas present. The opportunities that we have right now to tell others about what Christ did so we could have eternal life, the greatest Christmas present of all. And we've been doing that, and thank God for the open doors of opportunity. But there also was one more spirit. And you remember that was the really scary guy? How many remember that in the story? That was the scary one. And that was called the spirit of Christmas what? Future. Yet to come. Right, Bobby. And so he showed Scrooge what would happen if he did not repent. That he would wind up with not a good future. And this Christmas Eve, I want to say, this is a Christmas Eve service right now. You are visited by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And he is the spirit of Christmas past. He's the spirit of Christmas present. And he's the spirit of Christmas future. And he has given us the message. And this morning, I want to look at Christmas future with you and see what would happen if you would please turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We want to look at Christmas future in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This letter was written to a people, a church, that they were interested in the future. They wanted to know about the Lord coming back. And you know what? Every year that we live, we're 1 year closer to these things happening. We're 1 year closer to the future coming of Jesus Christ. He came the first time, Christmas past, but He's coming again. Amen? Yeah. He's coming back again. That will be Christmas future. And the Bible says you need to be prepared for His coming. Let me ask you a question. Were they prepared when He came the first time? No. And most people, I hate to tell you this, will not be prepared when He comes the second time. But I hope to God that you will be, and this morning I'm preaching to help you to be prepared and telling you what the Holy Ghost said about Christmas future. And here's what the Holy Ghost says about Christmas future, and it is in 2 Thessalonians. And let me say to you, if you look at this, I would like you to read with me verse 1. Actually, you just read silently. I'll read out loud. 2 Thessalonians 2 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto Him." Now, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering unto Him. Now, when you think about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto Him, there is a word here for coming. And if you look at what the Bible says about coming, there's a Greek word called erkomai. It just means to come or to arrive. There's another word, apokalypsis. We studied that in Sunday school. It's the word for revelation, that the curtain is lifted up and all the truth of His second coming is revealed. Apokalypsis. Then there's the word epiphania. When He comes back again, we talked about it in Sunday school. Everybody will see the light of His glory shining across the darkened sky. The whole world will know that He's arrived, that He's come from heaven. And that's the word epiphania. But there's a word that's used here that's translated coming, and it's the word parousia, the Greek word parousia. And that word means coming and continuing with somebody. All right, for instance, Abigail is here. She's visiting her mom and her family, and she's going to be here, and she's going to do this on Christmas Eve. Christmas Day, we'll do that, and has an itinerary planned out. So the word coming is like that. It's not just a one thing. It is a whole coming and continuing to do certain things. And when the Lord comes back, He's going to have the first moment of His coming, and He's going to do something, but then He's going to have other things that He's going to do, and it's going to take place over a few years. His second coming will not be done in just one day. It's the word parousia. It means He comes and He accomplishes certain things. Remember His first coming. What was accomplished in His first coming? His birth. He, at 12 years old, we see Him in the temple. And then we see Him choosing His disciples, 3.5 years. And then we see Him going to the cross and dying for our sins. Then we see His resurrection, and then He ascended. All that is part of His first coming. It took place over 33.5 years. Well, His second coming will take place over a period of a couple to 2 years to 3 years, and it will have certain events that will take place. And so what you need to understand, a lot of preachers do not preach this in even independent fundamental Baptist churches, that the second coming will take place over a period of time. And so His glory will appear in the atmosphere around the earth, and people will see His glory, and they will know when He comes back that He's raptured the church. They will know that when He comes back, unlike what you may have heard, that He is the judge that's pouring out His judgment. They will know it, and they will know who they're fighting against, and they will know who they are hiding from. In fact, perhaps you even know that today. If you're here and you haven't accepted Him, it's not because perhaps you don't know that you need to put your faith in Him and trust Him as your Lord and Savior. And so it will be even more clear then when He comes back, and folks will be locked in their rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's talking about His coming. And then notice it says in verse number one, his coming and are gathering together unto him. Now, what does that mean? That means when he comes back, if you're a born-again believer, you will be gathered unto him. Now, if you're not a born-again believer, you will not be gathered unto him. You will be left down here, and you will face his judgments, which he will pour out from heaven using angels, and the glory of the Lord will be there in the atmosphere, and people will see it, and they will know that he is judging those people that have been left behind. And I am so glad that I got saved, and so I won't be left behind. And so when he talks about our being gathered to him, he's talking about born-again believers, and that is what is taught also in Matthew 24. I'll read it, verse 31. He says, and he shall send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now, you couldn't go into outer space, or you couldn't go into the upper atmosphere to meet the Lord unless, beloved, your body was changed first. That's why 1 Corinthians 15:56 doesn't say that you'll be carried to meet the Lord in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. No, your body will be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye, if you're still safe, so that you can travel to meet him in the air. He's going to save your body. And then it says here that the angels are going to, at the sound of the trumpet, get God's chosen people, those that are saved, from everywhere in the world and bring them to meet the Lord in the air, no doubt over Jerusalem, where he will be in the sky, and all of his bride will be gathered to meet him. And what a wonderful day that will be. And if you're not a child of God, there's no escape. You're going to face judgment after that moment. That is the scary part of Christmas future. But here's the good part. John 14:3, Jesus said, and I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Do you know that's the good part of Christmas future? Jesus is coming back again. And we're going to see him. And right now, if you're looking forward to seeing him, you're preparing for it. It was like my wife and I got married. She knew we were getting married. She had a hope chest, and she was preparing for getting married. If you know that Jesus is coming back and you're going to be with him, you're going to be preparing for it. And so you're not going to be hanging around and doing the bad things that the world is doing. No, you're not going to be drinking and carousing and getting involved in all the wicked parties of the world. No, you're not going to do that if you're getting ready. You're going to be a faithful bride. And so, and that's what's talked about. Now, look with me at verse number, that was verse number one, but look with me at verse number two. It says that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, I have a King James Bible here, and I believe every word is the inspired word of God. And there is a difference between the day of Christ and the day of the Lord. They happen on the same day, but the day of Christ has to do with verse 1, that when he comes back, if you're a child of God, he's going to send his angels and you'll be gathered to meet him in the air. But if you're not a child of God, you'll be left behind. So the day of the Lord refers to, listen to me, people that are going to be left behind. That's why these people were scared that they might have missed out. They missed out on the rapture. Now they're going to be left behind. They were troubled about that. But he's saying, no, let me tell you, the rapture hasn't happened yet. You've not been left behind yet. And I'll tell you why. The rapture, listen to me, speaks about the day of Christ. That's when Christ comes back and we meet him in the air. But the day of the Lord speaks about as soon as we're safe and as soon as we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, then he's going to start pouring out his wrath on this world. And that is called the day of the Lord wrath in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 said, if you're a believer, you're not appointed to wrath, but to obtain salvation. That means that you're going to be saved out of this world before the wrath of God by the rapture. And the word rapture means to be caught up or gathered to meet the Lord in the air. And so that is what that is talking about there, the day of Christ and the day of the Lord. But by the way, when we think about that and when we think about the day of Christ and we think about the day of the Lord, I want you to notice that the day of Christ is used of Noah. Because the Bible said that when God flooded the world, that was like the day of the Lord, his judgment. But for 7 days, Noah and all of his family and all the animals got into the ark. It took them 7 days to do it. As soon as Noah got in, he was the last guy to get in, the door was what? Shut. And as soon as it was shut, what happened? It started to rain, and it rained for 40 days and nights, and everybody on earth was killed except 8 people that were inside that boat. That's a picture of the rapture. The same day, the day of Christ, that we're gathered to meet the Lord, on the same day, God's wrath will fall on this world, not by fire, not by water, but by fire. And the fire will be poured out in one judgment after the other. By the way, it's the same thing that's mentioned in Luke chapter 17 and verse 28-30 of Lot. The Bible says Lot was a believer. He was in Sodom. And he felt bad about the wicked things that the homosexual crowd was doing in Sodom. And he was really getting sick of it. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of what's going on in this country. And so Lot, you see, he was saved out of Sodom. And who gathered him and took him out of Sodom? Angels of God. And when he went out of Sodom, they did not pour out the fire on Sodom and destroy it until Lot and his family got out. But one thing I want to mention, remember Lot's wife? Did she get out of Sodom? Well, she did get out of the city, but she didn't get out of the judgment because God said, don't look back. You know why she looked back? Because she had a Sodom appetite. She wasn't born again. She wasn't saved. And so when she looked back, boom, she went into that salt pillar as that judgment came down, and she was part of the judgment. I believe there'll be people that'll be married to Christians, and you may go to church, but you're not really born again. And when the angels come, you will be separated out, and you will not go up. And so that's so important that you have room in your heart for Jesus Christ now. And so that's what that's talking about. The day of the Lord is for those left behind, and the judgment and the day of Christ is for us who are raptured. And it said, don't be soon shaken or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letters from us, is that the day of Christ is at hand. Wait a minute. Aren't a lot of preachers teaching today that the day of Christ is at hand? That it could happen today? It could happen any moment. I'm sure you've heard that everywhere you've gone. How many have heard that? Christ, it could happen. But listen to me. He is saying here that will confuse you. There are some prophesied things that will help you to get ready for the day of Christ, and you have to understand those things, and I am going to tell you about those things. So look at verse number 3. He says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, what day? The day of Christ, the rapture, he's just been talking about it, shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So in other words, before the day of the rapture, there has to come a falling away first, and that man of sin will be revealed. Now, it's very important if you're going to know about Christmas future, you know about the timepiece of prophecy. One of the men tell me, what is the timepiece for the second coming of Jesus and the rapture? What is the timepiece that lets us know that we're close?
May 14th, 1948.
That's exactly right. How many of you know what happened on May 14, 1948? You see, if you don't, you need to know this, and I'm going to tell you this morning. Israel became a nation among nations of the world for the first time in nearly 2,000 years. Do you see, Jesus can't come back until Israel is back in their land, according to Ezekiel 37 and other scriptures. The Lord can't come back until what happened on June 1967 when they recaptured the old city of Jerusalem. The Lord will come back after the temple is rebuilt. Verse 4 says that the temple of God is going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. You can't rebuild the temple unless Israel possesses their temple. And they didn't do that till June 1967. You see, Israel is God's timepiece. And so if you're going to understand Christmas future, and if you're going to understand verse 3, you have to understand that there's going to come a falling away first, and that that falling away is the word in the original writing, apostasy, ha apostasia. And what that is, the word apostasy means to turn away from. And in this case, to turn away from God. You see that the Bible is very clear that Israel will be back in their land before Christmas future happens. They are now. They'll have possession of Jerusalem. Their temple will be rebuilt. And there will be a 7-year period of time in which these prophecies that we're talking about will be fulfilled. And that's called Daniel's 70th week, Brother Eddie, as you mentioned. And then will come the 1,000-year kingdom of Christ over this earth. At the beginning of the 7 years, listen to me, at the very beginning, there will be a great apostasy by the nation of Israel. Now, that's very important because a lot of people say, well, we're going to be out of here before the 7 years begins. No, he says that there must be the apostasy first. And then the man of sin must be revealed before we're out of here. Look at what it says. And what is the apostasy? After God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, has been so gracious to bring the Jews back after Auschwitz and all of what Hitler did, and after he brings them back and they become a nation, and he blesses them and enriches them, and they're going to win some wars that we believe may right now be happening in the Middle East that are prophesied in Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38 and 39. God, the God of Abraham, God, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob is going to help them win these wars. Do you realize that people have sighted angels on the battlefield over there in Israel? God has been watching over them. But after all of that, the Bible said, there is coming this man, and according to Daniel chapter 2, he is going to be over a revived Roman Empire, and that empire is going to take over Europe, and it's going to even go into the Middle East, just like in the days of Jesus. Remember, Syria, Egypt, and Israel were all part of the Roman Empire, and Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem to be taxed by Rome. It was under Rome. Listen, Israel is going to give up their national independence May 14, 1948, and they're going to give it over to the head of the European Union. They're going to become part of the European Union. Egypt will too. Syria will too. And that is called the Great Apostasy. Because instead of trusting the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, now we're trusting this man who said, well, if you become part of the big European Union, you'll have peace and safety. But wait a minute, hasn't God been taking care of Israel just fine by himself? By the way, he doesn't need Biden to do it, or O'Biden, which is Obama. He can do it himself. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about Christmas future. You need to be aware, I know we celebrate Christmas past and Christmas present, but you need to be aware of Christmas future. I'm talking about American Christians. You need to be aware of it. And there's going to be this apostasy of the nation of Israel, and God is not going to like it. In fact, the Bible says when they make that covenant, it's in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15 and verse 18, and it says when they make that covenant, it's going to cause a great invasion to take place in Israel eventually. And it's going to cause the beast to come in there, and he is going to take over and stop their temple worship. Because right at the beginning of the 7 years, he's going to confirm a covenant that is the covenant with Moses that Israel is allowed to offer animal sacrifices on the Temple Mount. And I don't know whether they'll be already doing it or not at the beginning of the 7 years, but regardless, he is going to say to them, I'll give you 7 years and you'll have total peace and you'll be able to do your sacrifices and we'll protect you. Nobody will be able to stop you. And the Bible says that toward the end of the first 3.5 years, Syria will attack. Egypt will attack. There'll be civil war in the Roman Empire because the Islamic people won't like that. And the beast will come to make peace. He's not coming to break his covenant. He's coming to keep peace between Israel and them. But when he comes in to Jerusalem with his armies, guess what? He is going to stop the sacrifices. And he's going to set up his one world religion. And the Jews will not be able to practice theirs. The Islamic people will not be able to practice theirs. Everybody will have to give allegiance to the global government leader. And that is Christmas future. That is what is coming before, listen to me, the rapture. Before we're get, Paul said, don't be troubled. These things must happen first. Israel must turn and become part of the EU. And then this man of sin is going to be revealed, the son of perdition. He's going to be revealed out in the open for who he is. Now you say, who is that man that's going to be revealed before the rapture? In verse 1. See, a lot of people are going to say, why are you troubled? Why are you disturbed? And some Christians are going to say, well, we thought we'd be out of here before this. We didn't think we'd see Christmas future like that. We thought we'd be out of here. And they're going to say, where is the promise of his coming? 2 Peter 3. That's a bunch of baloney. You want to know who Christ is? He's the Jew that's telling us to worship the Roman prince. And that is our God. And we have a government of peace, and you ought to just go along with it. There's no rapture that's going to get you out of here. This is going to be, you just take the mark, and you'll be fine. And you'll have peace and safety, and everything will be great. That is what is going to go on. And if you don't understand these things, you will be troubled. That's why I'm talking to you about Christmas future, and I'm even talking to believers about Christmas future, so that you can be prepared for what is going to happen in the future. But I'd like you to go now to verse number 4, and I'm going to read verse 4 through 6. You follow. It says in 2 Thessalonians 2:4, "Whoso," speaking of this man, "opposeth and exalteth himself," all that's called God, or that is worship, "so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" By the way, how many of you have heard me tell you these things? Do you think a lot of preachers are telling you these things? I'd say no.
Preach it.
I'm not going to judge anybody's motives. But I know the Apostle Paul taught these things very clearly. And I believe I need to teach these things. It's Christmas Eve.
Hey.
We thank God for Christmas past, and we preached on that. We thank God for Christmas present, and we preached on that. But what about Christmas future? What's going to happen? Well, the great thing is the day of Christ is going to come. He's going to rapture us out of this world, and we're going to leave it behind, and we're going to meet him in the air. But not before Israel apostatizes and goes back into the one world government. By the way, we've already seen Israel do some pretty dumb things, haven't we? With the world government, with the globalists. They've done some pretty dumb things. But they're still God's chosen people. And he's going to work with Israel. But they have to go through some things. And I'm just saying to you, God's telling us, be aware of what God is doing and be ready for what's happening in the future, because it's very clear here that this man is going to have his image in the Holy of Holies, in the temple. So instead of the Jews having their sacrifices of Moses that they've been having during the first 3.5 years, he's going to put a stop to that. And now his hologram's going to be in there. How many of you have seen a hologram? You say, "Pastor, I just want to have my happy Christmas time." Well, let me tell you something. I can be happy because I know who's going to win this fight. And I know that he tells me these things so I can get ready. And you've seen a hologram. How many watched a football game and at halftime? Have you ever seen these satanic symbols and these rock stars get out there and they do all this wicked gyrating dancing out there, and they have the satanic symbols out there, and while they're out there doing that, they have these big holograms projected up there and they speak? Well, do you know that that's what's going to happen? This image of the man is going to be like a big hologram in the temple of God. And he's going to speak. And there are people that are saying now, we talk to Jesus, he doesn't talk back to us. But when we talk to these AIs, they talk back to us. And we like the AI thing. And we're going to get into the AI thing. Let me tell you what else is going to get into the AI thing. Devils. Fallen angels. And so there's going to be these images of the beast. And unless you worship the beast, you don't get the mark and you can't have any money. And you won't be able to buy or sell. Now let me tell you something that is wrong. But it's happening. Brother Bob knows this. Back, Bob, what year did you come here to church? What year? 2005? 2005. Okay, just trying to get the dates right. Back Around the time Brother Bob came, shortly thereafter, I'm not sure when I started this, but I started talking to you about a guy named Lindsay Williams, who was a chaplain to the globalist elite, the people that make decisions to really run the world and what's going on in the world. How many remember me talking about Lindsay Williams, the chaplain? Okay, a few of you do that, thank God. That guy knew what the globalists were doing, and they had a plan for this world, and he was telling God's people what they were saying they were going to do. Now, they're not God. Sometimes they may try to do something and it doesn't happen, but it was their plan. And one of the things he said they wanted to do was keep all the oil that's in America and in Alaska and have it for the globalists, but not for America. They don't want America first. They don't want our country to be blessed like one nation under God. And so he said, are controlling all of this. And I started telling the church about what these people were doing. And you say, Pastor, where is that? Look at verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he is taken out of the way. In other words, they're planning to run the world and have one cashless monetary system. How many have heard of the Great Reset? Raise your hand, the Great Reset. This is Christmas future, but it's getting very close. I don't know how close, but I can feel it's getting close. I can feel the shadow of the ghost of Christmas future. And what I'm saying to you is that the plan is to put us under one monetary system, cashless, all by computer. And that you will not be able to buy or sell without it. They already have it in what country? Red China. What's the symbol of Red China? The dragon. Who is represented as the dragon in the Bible? Satan. The globalists are using Red China to bring in this period of time that I'm talking about of the last 7 years, when all these things will be fulfilled. And there will be, one of the big things that you will see is pandemics. You know what pandemics are? Pandemics are pestilence in the Bible. They are the release of bioweapons. And where did the bioweapon COVID-19 come from? What city?
China.
Wuhan, China. But it wasn't just Wuhan, China. It was Obama, and it was Fauci, and it was the demon rat, and all of the uniparty Republicans that got together to bring about this release to kill people. You say, well, what is the agenda of Christmas future? What is the agenda of these people? The agenda of these people is to go from, what do we have in the world today, maybe 8 billion people, something like that, to go down to 500 million. Can you imagine that? The statistics are already out by hackers and whistleblowers in Australia. Not with the COVID-19, the bioweapon, but with the jab that was supposed to cure people of it. They've already killed 20 million people by the jab alone. And these are figures that are backed up by actuaries and insurance companies. I'm talking about Christmas future. I'm talking about the devil moving in and controlling a man called the Beast and the Jewish Antichrist. And the Jewish Antichrist is going to move Israel, you see, to side with him and become part of the European Union. And then the European Union and this man will be over a 10-union kingdom which will rule the entire world. And everybody in the world will be under this Red Chinese type of thing where everybody will be given credit score. If you're a good little boy and a good little girl, you'll get your money. If you're not, you don't get any money. And that means if you don't worship the beast, because you're a born-again Christian, you die. Or you get arrested to die. That's Christmas future. And that's what the apostle is talking about here. And you know, it's interesting that Lindsay Williams used to tell us, he said, these globalists have a belief. And their belief is that they have to put in a movie what they're going to do. Now, I don't recommend you listen to these movies because many of them are raunchy Hollywood junk movies. And some of you, you shouldn't be listening to them. Putting it in your head. But let me just tell you what the movie is out. They are now projecting, and guess who's producing the movie? Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. And what they're saying is going to happen. Listen to me and listen to me carefully. They're saying that in the near future, in the near future, there is going to be a cyber attack. And you won't be able to use your cell phone. You won't be able to use your internet. You won't be able to play on your video games. It's all going to be left behind for you. It's over. I remember before all these things, and it's going to be over. And you know who they're saying is the blame for it? The Russians. And Trump. Their favorite scapegoat. But don't believe it. Because these things aren't just happening. Barack knows he's part of it. And Soros is part of it. And all these people are part of it. And they are helping us to get ready for this one world government. You say, well, Pastor, what is restraining it? What's kept it back? There is a guardian angel. He is an archangel. His name is Michael. Read about him in Daniel 12. Read about him in Revelation when he goes to war with Satan in heaven. He is the one that is the restrainer. According to 2 Thessalonians, look at chapter 2 that we've been looking at. It says in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let will let until he be taken out of the way. In Daniel 12, Michael is standing at attention. He is in heaven. He's thrown Satan out of heaven right in the middle of the 7 years, right at the beginning of the great tribulation. And when Satan comes down to earth and he dwells in the earth, guess what? He's going to get inside these AI and control the AI. All the robots. And it's going to be possessed by the devil himself. That is the future that we're looking forward to. Now listen, I'll be done. But listen to me very carefully. You've got to overcome that. You say, how do I overcome it? You don't take the mark. You don't take the mark. You don't go along with that system. But if you're not born again, you will take the mark. And if you take the mark, you won't be saved. And that's why right now at this time, Christmas present, the Lord is offering you the opportunity to have the power to overcome by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Now listen, it's going to happen. And I don't mind telling you these things. They mocked Alex Jones as a conspiracy theorist when he said these things. But they're not mocking him anymore. A lot of people. Tucker Carlson is not mocking anymore. Tucker Carlson said that he believes, and I'll end right here, he believes that UFOs are fallen angels And these fallen angels are going to come down to earth and they're going to help the one world government. That is very soon to come. Satan worship's going to come out in the open. Have you ever seen the comic books with all the satanic imagery for the kids? My, oh my. Folks, churches are not telling the truth in so many cases. It's time to wake up. And it's time to turn to Jesus Christ in Christmas present, or you will not stand in Christmas future. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed.